The Public News Service Daily Newscast for Tuesday, May the 15th, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. Trump officials celebrate the transfer of the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem, but are silent on the deaths of Palestinian men, women, and children. Also on our rundown, concerns the GOP farm bill will gut programs essential to agriculture, plus experts see benefits in sector service summer employment. First, our top story, while Israelis and Americans, including Ivanka Trump and Jared Kushner, celebrated the opening of the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem Monday, Yahoo News reports that violent protests erupted 50 miles away. It was the single deadliest day in Gaza since the 2014 Gaza Civil War. Some Minnesota farmers are voicing concerns that one version of the farm bill now in Congress would gut a program they say is vital to the state's agriculture industry.
The Conservation Stewardship Program, or CSP, partially offsets the cost of things like cover crops that keep soil in place and buffer strips near streams to prevent soil erosion. The program is especially important to Minnesota, where it affects almost 13% of the agricultural landscape, or about 3 million acres. Yet Tara Ritter of the Institute for Agriculture and Trade Policy says CSP could have even further reach if money were available.
It's underfunded too. Over half and sometimes up to 75% of all qualified applicants are turned away each year, and that's at current funding levels.
Ritter says eliminating CSP funding won't kill farmers' conservation efforts, but it may make them less popular. That's a big deal given that some of the practices covered help make land more resilient to climate-shifting weather events. I'm Elizabeth Brown.
The preliminary House version of the bill is likely to come up for a full vote within the month. The Senate version has yet to be introduced. Six states have joined the battle over a massive coal export terminal proposed in Washington state. We get the details from Eric Tegetoff.
The Millennium Bulk Terminal in Longview would have been the largest in the country, but was denied several key permits by state officials last year. Wyoming, Montana, Kansas, Utah, South Dakota, and Nebraska have filed a joint amicus brief in federal court, saying the rejections were overly broad and could affect other commodities. Kristen Boyles, an attorney with Earth Justice representing environmental groups intervening on Washington's behalf, says the state's decision was based on the particulars of the Millennium Project and not some wider denial of coal or commerce.
The state of Washington is saying this terminal should not be built here because it has too many harmful impacts. That is a focused decision based on a pretty lengthy and detailed environmental review.
Washington State has asked the federal court to wait until state court proceedings have run their course before making a ruling. In its denial last year, the Washington Department of Ecology said the project came with too many unavoidable hazards, such as increased air pollution, cancer risk to the local community, and hazardous rail traffic.
Educators say that recent problems with high-stakes testing in New York's public schools highlight the need for change.
New York State United Teachers, the union representing educators across the state, has released a report called The Tyranny of Testing, a compilation of firsthand accounts of problems students and teachers faced in the most recent round of standardized testing for grades 3 to 8. Supporters of standardized tests say teacher evaluations must have an objective statewide measurement and the tests fill that need. But according to Carl Korn, a spokesman for the union, some students spent 5 or 6 hours taking exams that were supposed to last no more than 2, and that was just one problem.
We have reports of students in tears, students getting physically sick, and in testing through April, many students found that they worked hours on their exam only to have the computer lose all their work.
The union is calling on the leadership of the state Senate to allow a vote on Senate Bill 8301, which would end reliance on standardized testing in teacher evaluations. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
Governor Cuomo has indicated he would support a more fair and meaningful system of teacher evaluations. And finally, Stephanie Carson tells us with the end of the school year, right around the corner, students and parents are considering how they might spend the summer.
And while the Bureau of Labor Statistics reports a decline in teen employment in the year since the Great Recession, experts say summer jobs should not be overlooked. Roderick Johnson is with the Path Forward Coalition, promoting the service sector as a viable source of employment. He says more colleges are considering summer employment when reviewing applications.
We don't necessarily always recognize the important benefits that came with getting that job. Many teenagers who join the workforce this summer will do so in the service industry, for example, where they will start a record of work and earn the support of those who will recommend them for future career opportunities.
According to the National Retail Federation, there are 30 million combined restaurant and retail employees in the country, supporting 1 in 4 American jobs. A study by Stanford University found a correlation between student summer employment and higher academic performance. Robert Dorr is the former commissioner of the New York City Human Resources Administration and says service industry jobs in particular teach critical social skills.
Dependability, showing up on time, being gracious, showing good manners, knowing how to treat a customer.
A study by the National Bureau of Economic Research analyzed the effects of two Chicago programs. They found arrests for violent crime dropped by 42% for one program and 33% for the other. I'm Mike Clifford, and you've been newsing and cruising with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and we're online at publicnewsservice.org.